Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of John. From chapter 14, we'll read verses 22 through 29. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1537. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. John 14, 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am coming, going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe." God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. My next statement may not be true for all of us, but it could be for many of us. It's been said that we forget more than 80% of what we learn. The human brain, truly it is one of the marvels of God's creation. The brain is a complex organ that controls and coordinates all bodily functions. It receives information from the senses, processes it, and sends instructions to the body. The brain is made up of billions of nerve cells called neurons, and neurons communicate through electrical and chemical signals. The brain is divided into different regions, each with specialized functions. The cerebrum is the largest part and responsible for thinking, learning, memory, and emotion. The cerebellum coordinates muscle movement and balance. And the brain stem connects the brain to the spinal cord and controls vital functions such as breathing or heart rate and digestion. And the medulla is the lower part of the brain stem, which regulates basic life functions. The brain develops rapidly during childhood and adolescence. Neurons grow and they connect and they form complex networks. Learning and experience shape and encourage by strengthening or weakening certain connections. An encouraging fact is that learning and reasoning continues even as we age. Someone in their 70s may be able to solve a problem as well or sometimes even wiser than someone in their 20s. Ever the thoughtful creator, God has covered this squishy vital organ with its intricate networks with a protective, hard, bony skull. We are hard-headed. Memory is one of the functions of the brain. Memory involves encoding, storage, and retrieval. Encoding, this is the initial stage where we briefly perceive information from our five senses of our sight, sound, smell, touch, or taste, and then it's stored. Memories are not stored in one specific location in the brain, but rather distributed across different regions, and memory is strengthened through processes like sleep. And retrieval. Retrieval involves accessing stored memories when needed. Memories are not exact replicas of our experiences, but they're reconstructed based on the available cues and information. We have short-term memory and long-term memory. Short-term memory is where we hold information that we're actively using or thinking about, like maybe a phone number or a task at hand. It has limited capacity and duration, about 5 to 20 seconds. And then long-term memory is where information is stored for extended periods, potentially for a lifetime. It's been said that we forget more than 80% of what we learn is a quote from James Dobson in his book Home with a Heart. The obvious question is, why then should we go to all the trouble of learning at all? Many students have asked that question. There are many valid reasons for learning, even if forgetting will take its usual toll. First of all, there's the discipline, the self-control that learning fosters. Good students, they learn to follow directions and carry out assignments and channel their minds. And second, even if the facts and the concepts can't be recalled, the individual knows that they exist and where to find them, so the information can be retrieved. And third, old learning makes new learning easier. Each mental exercise gives us more cues with which to link future ideas and concepts, and we're changed for having been through the process of learning. Fourth, we don't really forget everything that is beyond our reach of our memories. The information is stored in the brain and will return to consciousness when properly stimulated. And fifth, we are shaped by the influence of intelligent and charismatic people who teach us. It's interesting that we are a people of the book, the Bible. Our intelligent and charismatic teacher, as far as we know, never wrote anything other than a few markings in the dirt which were trampled away and never read or recorded. Jesus never sat around a campfire writing in his journal. He never descended from the mountaintop with a manifesto from God. He never carved a desk for himself and sat down to write a jot and a tittle on a scroll of higher learning. Instead, Jesus chose to give his disciples a master's degree using oral stories, common and ordinary experiences, public and private lessons, and intimate exchanges where they heard his voice and he called them individually by name. All of the disciples' senses were used. I have no doubt that each one tried to learn and remember. I honestly don't think that anyone expected this to be just a 3-year course. This type of learning requires a lifetime, and it will be for all of us. Knowing that his physical time on earth is drawing to a close, plus knowing the way in which his disciples will experience his death, Jesus is sequestered with his disciples. Like any good teacher and student before a period of testing, Jesus prays and he promises to pray for his disciples. One of the topics of prayer is the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 16 through 17, John has recorded these words of Jesus. Jesus said, "I will praise the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you." I like the title of James Dobson's book, Home with a Heart. While I understand the focus is on a family home with a heart, I also connect it with Jesus' words here in John 14, 23. Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Oh, that we have a home with a heart for a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to dwell within us. In these last moments with his disciples, Jesus is reminding them of some things that he's already taught, and he also is emphasizing a new way of thinking and living life. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." Perhaps understanding that the disciples are experiencing overload and may even be wondering, "Why didn't we elect a secretary?" Jesus offers reassurance. "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." Jesus did not write a book for us. However, God did inspire men to write down Jesus' words. The Holy Spirit brought things to remembrance, and they were written down. Everything that Jesus said or did has not been recorded for us, but these things were written down that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we may have life in his name. We might question, why should we learn the words of Jesus if we'll probably forget 80% and maybe remember 20%? For the same reason that we learn other things. First of all, it's obedience and it's a good discipline. Second, we'll know that they exist and we can find them in the Bible. And third, it makes it easier to learn more about Jesus. Each that we learn, it builds upon the other. And fourth, Jesus' words are not lost. The Holy Spirit will prompt us And fifth, our teacher has shaped us in our lives. In our daily bread devotion for Friday, May the 23rd, Mike Whitmer shares this insight in Love the Truth. Jack hates school. The lectures on algebra, grammar, and the periodic table bore him, but he loves building houses. His father takes him to work in the summer, and Jack can't get enough. He's only 16, but he knows about cement, shingles, and how to frame a wall. What's the difference between school and construction? Love. Jack loves one and not the other. Love fuels knowledge. What do we know? That important question depends on one that's more basic. What do we love? Our passions incline our heart and direct our mind. We cherish what we love. We protect it and we seek more of it. If we love truth and wisdom, we'll search for them as for precious gold. Truth and wisdom will guard us. So what is true wisdom? In John 14:6, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Our most important question is, who do we love? Love Jesus and you'll learn his way. He'll guard your life by guiding you into his truth. We are a people of the book, the Bible. Even more so, we are a people of Jesus Christ. God's Spirit, the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are intertwined and make their home within us. We are a home with a heart. One of the reasons that's important for us is that God will speak to us so that we can live like Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps us to live out the words of Jesus. Rather than giving us a list of do's and don'ts, Jesus promises that the Helper will be with us. The Holy Spirit helps us to make decisions and determine our actions. This is crucial as we live like Christ in our world. It is vital as we ask, what would Jesus do? Or even more important, what would Jesus have me to do in my day? What does Jesus mean when he cautions us in Matthew 18:7 about offending one of these little ones and causing them to sin? Over time, Christians have determined that such things as protection and child labor laws and an education are an important of not offending little ones. Have we accomplished everything that needs to be done? No, but Jesus continues to speak to us. How do we live out Jesus' admonition, render under Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's? Well, many men and women have tried to do that very thing as they have served our country in the military. This Memorial Weekend, we remember the valiant effort of many who gave their lives in that very undertaking. We are perhaps like the lawyer who stood up to test Jesus, and he begins with, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? But he circles back to asking, who is my neighbor? Eternal life comes through Jesus, and we will be a neighbor if we have compassion and heart of mercy. Sometimes in my pondering, I think Jesus didn't say enough. Why didn't he call Gentile men to his inner circle of disciples? And why didn't he make it clear the place of women in the kingdom? Instead, some things have happened over time. Jesus said that he would bring others into his flock, and when the Holy Spirit was given also to Gentiles, then they were accepted. And Jesus defended Mary for sitting at his feet and listening to his word. And God chose women to be the first at the tomb of the resurrected Jesus and to take his word out for the world. No, we don't have all the answers. We don't even know all the questions. However, we do have Jesus' promise and reassurance that as we continue to learn and remember and be prompted by the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let us pray. Eternal God, we welcome you into our hearts. Make your home with us and help us to learn from you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.